Is God real? Can we actually know Him? Does He really care if we do? These and other important questions will be answered today as we present an important message from the Word of God. We're glad that you have joined us today for the message of grace.
The message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're turning in our Bibles today to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 4 to number 6, where we read, God our Savior will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's a wonderful thing to know that God, our Savior, that's a wonderful title for Almighty God. There are a lot of gods in the world, but the God of the Bible takes the title and gives it to Himself of God, our Savior. Not just our judge, not just our destroyer, but God, our Savior. And God Almighty desires to be our Savior, and He's demonstrated that His desire is that all men, all women, the word men and man in the Bible, it's a reference to mankind, humankind. It's not excluding the ladies. It's talking about all of mankind. And when He says that God would have all men to be saved, He wants all of mankind, everyone listening to this program today, everyone viewing this program today, have all of us to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth, to understand what He's doing, what His purposes are. For, He says, and God has demonstrated the reason that we know that God wants all men to be saved is for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The reason that we can be confident in the Word of God and confident in our lives that God Almighty desires for all men to be saved is what He Himself has done to make it possible for all men to be saved. There's one God. And there's one mediator between God and men. Now, you need to think about that for a moment. There's a mediator. A mediator is a go-between. A mediator is somebody who takes one party and the other party and who mediates, who goes between them and makes a communion between the two. There's one God, God Almighty, and one mediator, Jesus Christ. The mediator is between God and man. And without you and I need a mediator. You and I need a go-between. We need someone to go between Almighty God and us and to make peace. The Bible says that God is holy. The Bible says that God is of purer eyes than to look upon iniquity, and that God cannot behold sin. God Almighty looks at sin, and the justice of God, God's integrity, God's holiness is made up of two attributes. First, there's His righteousness. That's this absolute standard of perfection that Almighty God has. Then there's the attribute of His justice. The justice of God is the enforcer. The justice of God is the part of God's nature and makeup that enforces His righteousness and that enforces His righteous standard of holiness. When the righteousness of God is violated, when we fall short, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When that happens, the justice of God demands that there be a penalty for our failure. That's why it says that God's of pure eyes and to behold iniquity. You have to be perfect to stand before God, and you and I are not perfect. You and I are sinners. The Bible says there's not a just man in the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now that's not something that the Bible says to get you down. That's just a fact of life. You can read your morning newspaper. You can watch the news broadcast in the evening when they tell you about the affairs of the day. You can look at your own experience in your own life and the own details of your life in the last week, and you know that you are a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Mankind is a sinner, are sinners. We've failed. We look around us and we understand that. God understands it. So he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need someone who can take God Almighty in his perfection and us, man, in our failures and bring us together. And that's what a mediator is. It's a go-between. He's one that can take God by the hand, man by the hand, and bring us together. And you notice the verse says there's one God and there's one mediator. Not two, not three, not five. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God Almighty and mankind. If you today want to find God, if you want to know whether God's real or not, if you want to know God, if you want to have any communion with Him, any contact with Him, there's a mediator. You don't have to have this great gulf fixed between you and the Almighty. You don't have to have Him be that holy other who is out there transcendent that you can't touch and contact. Rather, you can know Him. And you can know Him on a personal basis because God Almighty has provided the mediator, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The go-between is the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the Lord told His disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Folks, Jesus Christ is the mediator between men and God. Now that's important to understand that. And the reason Paul emphasizes that is because there are a lot of other mediators that claim to be able to mediate between God and man, claim to be able to mediate with God for us, and yet those mediators are failures. Those mediators don't work. For example, in Colossians chapter number 2, and it's interesting that in the Bible identifies at least three or four different kind of mediators that men trust in, that men put their confidence in. Angels, for example, Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 18, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Colossians, to the saints who lived in Colossae, he writes to them and he warns them about people who use the angelic world, the unseen spirit world, as mediators between them and God. He says to them in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, let no man beguile you. Don't let someone come and cast a spell upon you. Let no man beguile you, trick you out of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. He's talking about religion. And he's talking about a religious system that has the spirit worlds, the angelic creation, that they use as mediators. Now the Greeks in the day of the Apostle Paul, they believed in a hierarchy of supernatural beings who oversaw the affairs of men and the affairs of the earth. You've read about them, no doubt, in mythology, and you've heard about Mount Olympus and Jupiter and Apollos and Zeus and all the gods that dwelt on Mount Olympus and how they control the affairs of man in mythology. Well, that mythological religion, Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 22, he tells the Athenians, Athens is the capital of Greece, he tells them that you are too superstitious. That word superstitious literally means you fear more demons, more gods than anyone else. They had all these gods that they worshiped. You don't have to go back to ancient Greece to find it. In our day, there's a phenomenon. You can see it on the talk shows and the movie stars and the celebrities of the world. You can see it on television. It's called channeling, where you go and you seek some god, some angel, some god outside of humanity to be a mediator for you and to commune back and forth for you between you and God and to communicate divine supernatural wisdom. The Bible, Paul is saying, that's not the mediator that's going to do you good and get you a right standing with God. My friend, you could never gain a right standing with God through the channels of this world. Whether it's channeling of the spirits of the world, whether it's trying to gain supernatural knowledge in some other way, the only source of contact with Almighty God is through the pages of the Word of God based upon the mediatorship, the way that has been provided through the ransom which is in Christ Jesus. Through the Lord Jesus Christ's death at Calvary, His burial, His resurrection for our sins as a payment of the full penalty of our sins, God has made a way. Now, there are all kind of other ways in the world. There are all kind of other ways. They're identified in the Word of God. God knew about them. God writes about them. And God says they don't work. Angels won't work. Channeling won't work. Using some supernatural being other than yourself and other than God to try to be the mediator won't work. The only mediator between God and man, the only one who will ever be able to affect your life and put you in contact with Almighty God, the only one who will ever be able to bring the forgiveness of sins into your life, the only one who will ever be able to bring to take away the guilt and the burden and the load and the shame and the rejection of sin is Jesus Christ. For God gave Him to be a ransom for all. He gave Him to be a payment for your sin and for my sin. That's why the others won't do. They didn't die for you. They don't love you. They're not going to be able to redeem you. But Christ did. That's why He says there's one mediator. It's not angels. In Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 15, He tells us that about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Our Lord at Calvary won the victories. Angels aren't any help. Spirit beings aren't going to help you. I'll tell you something else the Bible says aren't going to help you. If you go back to the book of Job, chapter number 5, dead saints aren't going to help you. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible in that it's the first book written. It goes back before any of the other books that are written. There are books in the Bible whose history goes back prior to the time of Job, like the book of Genesis goes all the way to creation. But Job is the oldest book, first book written in the Bible. And it goes back into the antiquity of man. In Job chapter 4, verse number 18, Eliphaz is talking to Job, and he says, behold, God puts no trust in His servants, and His angels He charged with folly. You see, my friend, when sin entered into the world, it entered in originally through the angelic creation, and God doesn't find the angels even being perfect, so they're not going to be of any help to you. He says, how much less? If he doesn't put any trust in His servants, and in His angels He charges with folly, how much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed with the moth. That's us. That's frail humanity. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die, even without wisdom. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee. And to which of the saints will thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. You see what he's saying? He's saying all these saints have died. Go on and call on them and see if they'll do you any good. They're not going to answer you. Go on and call on them and see if they will return and help you. There isn't any help in praying to dead saints, Eliphaz is telling Job. As far back as ancient humanity goes, as far into antiquity as the recorded record of human history is, you'll find man being religious. You'll find man doing things. And God saying, those humanly devised plans of men, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll pray to the dead saints and God will hear them. And God's Word says, no, go on and call on them, see if they'll do you any good. They won't do you any good. You know something, friend? You can pray to dead saints today and it won't avail you a thing. There isn't any hope in dead saints. They're not able to come over there. In Psalms He says that you can't redeem your brother. You can't give a ransom for your brother. Why? Because you can't even redeem yourself. You see, you don't need a frail, fallen man, human like you or me to do it. We're sinners. We can't take care of our own problems. How are we going to take care of yours? Well, if angels, spirit beings can't do it, if dead saints aren't the mediator, well, what about the Queen of Heaven? Well, she's not the mediator either. In Jeremiah chapter 44... get your Bible now, Jeremiah chapter 44. In Jeremiah 44, the nation Israel was worshiping the Queen of Heaven. Now, the Romans had a name for the Queen of Heaven. They called her Venus. The Greeks called her Diana and Minerva and Juno. The Phoenicians called her Ashtaroth. The Syrians called her Astarte. And the people have names for her today. And you'll see her name around the world, the Queen of Heaven. That is an ancient pagan religion. And Jeremiah chapter 44, many, many hundred years before the Lord Jesus Christ ever showed up upon the earth, Israel, in her idolatry, was worshiping the Queen of Heaven. And God says to them in Jeremiah 44, verse number 15, "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, even as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem." You know what they're doing? They're saying, look, we got a tradition here. We've got a tradition that goes way back into our history, and we're not going to give it up. And we're going to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. And we're going to, he says in verse 18, "But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings to her, when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven," verse 19, "poured out drink offerings unto her and didn't make her cakes to worship, we're going to make our little cakes, our little wafers, and we're going to worship the Queen of Heaven. We're going to pour out our drink offerings and we're going to worship the Queen of Heaven. We're going to burn incense. We're going to worship the Queen of Heaven, and she's going to do us good." You know what God said to them? Isn't going to work. God said it's idolatry. You know what God did to the nation Israel for worshiping the Queen of Heaven? He destroyed them. He destroyed them out of the land of Palestine. He destroyed them. He took them out of their land, carried them away into Babylonian captivity. That's what happens to the nation that worships the Queen of Heaven. It doesn't find personal relationships with Almighty God. You don't go to God and find His favor by worshiping the Queen of Heaven. You don't go to God and find His favor by praying to the dead saints. Not in the Bible, you don't. You may in religion and tradition, but not in the Word of God. You don't find favor with Almighty God by praying to the angels and the unseen world. You know how you find favor with God? There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And the mediator's not good works. The Bible says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Your works won't accomplish anything. My works aren't the issue. They're not going to accomplish for us a right standing with God. To have a right standing with God, you have to be perfect. You say, "But I'm not perfect." That's right. That's why God gave a mediator. That's why God gave one to bridge the gulf. And my friend, it's not unseen spirits in the unseen world. Forget that. It's not praying to the dead saints who've gone on before. Forget that. It's not worshiping the Queen of Heaven. Forget that. It's not coming and trying to bring good works in your hands to offer God. Forget that. You know what it is? The verse says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Listen, hear that, would you? He gave Himself a ransom for all. You know what a ransom is? A ransom is a payment. A ransom is when somebody's in jeopardy, they've been captured and carried away into captivity and bondage and slavery, and a payment's made to rescue them back, to deliver them back, to save them back. You know what that is? That's the payment of a debt, the payment of the penalty. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption." The word redemption means to pay the price and buy back. In whom we have redemption, where we have the ransom. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That book says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. There isn't any forgiveness for your sins without the penalty being paid. The old book says the wages of sin is death. Death. And you know that that's more than just being dead and buried and planted 6 feet under. That's the death not just of the outer man, but of the inner man. That old book says that the fearful and unbelieving and abominable whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers, and you say, "Boy, preacher, I'm none of those things." Then it says, "And all liars." Well, that gets all of us, doesn't it? You know what that verse does? It gets us from the best of us all the way to the worst of us. It gets the down and outer and the up and outer. No matter what situation you're in today listening to this program, no matter what situation you're in today as you view what we're saying here today, my friend, There's something for you there. All liars, what? Shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The wages of sin is death. That's the second death. You know what that is? That's death. That's judgment. That's the wrath of Almighty God in the lake of fire for all eternity. You say, well, why do you get on the television to tell us that? Oh, because that isn't all that verse says. That verse says, for the wages of sin is death. There's nothing any of us can do about that. That's the way we are. But, it says, you see, God comes in and changes things. God steps into human history to provide salvation, to provide an answer. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what a gift is? A gift is something that somebody gives to you. It's a present. You don't work for it. If you were going to, somebody gave you something and then you said, well, how much do I owe you? It wouldn't be a gift, would it? It wouldn't be something, it'd be an insult to do that. A gift, how do you get a gift? You just take it. You just take it. You know what God did for you? That Bible says that God made Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, the one who knew no sin, to be sin for you. When Jesus Christ came into this world, He didn't come just to walk the shores of Galilee and show you a new way to God. He came for the purpose of dying. The Bible says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, just like you and just like me. Are you a sinner today? If you're not a sinner, there's no message for you in God's Word. If you're not a sinner, there's no salvation for you. Heaven is going to be populated with sinners saved by the work that Jesus Christ did at Calvary when He died to pay for everything that's wrong with you. You know what we do when we get saved? He says, God made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made my sin. God took my sin, put it on the soul of His own Son, and poured out His wrath against my sin there. And He suffered my penalty. He suffered your penalty, that we might be made, the verse says, the righteousness of God in Him, that we might be given a perfect, complete standing in Him. Many years ago, I've read a story about in the cowboy days of our country out west, and I've been out in those plains in the western part of the United States, and you can look prairies for miles and miles and just see nothing but prairie. There was a cowboy going across some prairie where there was just nothing but him and hundreds of miles of expanse in front of them, and off in the distance he could see a prairie fire coming. And as the fire approached, it engulfed the horizon, and there was obviously no way for the man to escape. He was an experienced man in those situations. He got down off his horse, bent down to the dry grass, lit a match, and started a fire at his feet. The wind whipping up at gale forces whipped that fire and began to burn the grass in front of them and just began to blaze up and burn out the ground in front of him and go on. As the approaching prairie fire came, you know what the man did? He took his horse by the bridle and followed that fire out across that ground and stood upon that already burned out ground. And when the big fire came, you know what it did? It burned right up to where the ground had already been burned. And the man was standing out on the burned up ground. And you know what he was? He was safe. He was safe. John Newton said, in evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, until a new object caught my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near as cross I stood. Ne'er till my latest breath shall I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me to despair. I saw my sins as blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that thou might live. Thus is death my sin displayed in all its blackest hue. Such is the mystery of grace, it sealed my pardon to. If you today, by faith, will take God at His Word and trust His Son as your Savior, believe what God said about Jesus Christ dying to pay for everything that's wrong with you, that instant God will save you. You can have your sins forgiven that easily. Be made a child of God simply by faith in Christ Jesus. Do it today, will you? Don't delay. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Till we meet again next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Just by Faith Alone. It's your free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, the Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at the Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request the tape, Just by Faith Alone. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address, again, is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.